speaker, which is Harold, and his topic is KISS.
My name is Harold. Now, there's three mics up here. If I go wrong, forgive me. I'm going to try to keep it on the, stay with the right mic. I mean, I'm glad I believe in God. Because I really think if I didn't believe in God, I really don't know what I would do with myself. So I'm actually pleased to know that I'm guided by something other than myself and my thinking. My topic is KISS. Eric called me and said that he wanted me to do a commitment, and I asked him what the topic was, and he said it was KISS. K-I-S-S, Harold, KISS. You know, keep it simple. I said, what's the topic, Eric? And he said, keep it simple, stupid. So I don't know if he had a difficult time actually like saying that to me or not, but I understand the topic. I understand that I'm supposed to come up here and talk about how to keep it simple. What I don't understand is why he picked me to do KISS. I guess at no time in his entire recovery has he ever heard me share, ever heard anything I've been through. I'm telling you, this might be, take a good look at me, this might be the last time you see this face in Ocean City. Now, I don't know if they got Ocean City guidelines for what you're supposed to say, what they expect from a speaker, but you ask me to speak on KISS, that is lethal. That's dangerous. I don't know if I even have a KISS procedure that I partake in my whole entire recovery. Nothing has been simple for me. I get impacted and affected by everything. I don't know how to stand down, leave stuff alone. I don't know why they picked me. But I'm glad I believe in God. Because for me, you asked me to do it, whoever asked. I hope everybody's cozy out there, you know what I mean, in all this open space. But whoever asked me, I feel like y'all a million miles away. I don't know whether to swim over there. I'm ready, if this is a traveling mic, I'm ready to come out there and share. I'm way up here. I am completely feel isolated from everybody else. But I'm going to roll with where they put me and what they asked me to do, because I'm glad I believe in God. But listen, first of all, I'm ecstatic that I don't shoot dope no more. Because I didn't have a lot of good days. I'm going to talk real brief. I'm going to stay within my time. And I'm going to talk about really quickly why it's difficult for me to keep it simple. You know, I've gotten myself, I never had at 16, when my 16th year was ending, I decided to take a BD-26 disposable syringe and a murine eyedropper and an old Dixie Peach cap and fill it up with some heroin and shoot dope. I never remember being 18, 19, 20. I never had no birthday parties. I never remember getting any gifts, doing anything. I never did good. I never made a whole lot of money over cop money. All I ever had was cop money. All I ever did was like woke up in the morning figuring out how to shoot dope. I went to the methadone program when I was 19. I looked like I was 16. I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know what to do. I thought my life for the rest of my life was a drama. I thought it took some type of drama activity every day to make it exist. My mother was disappointed with me most of my life. I never had, until I had a son that I was raised with and can measure his age to the age that I was, I never really figured out what parental pain is, you know, or what I put her through. I look at her now at 83, and somewhere in her eyes, she still has a look like, I hope this is over. It's been over 25 years, but I know her look is that I hope this is over. I didn't get here knowing how to function as an adult male. I just happened to be at an adult male age. I didn't know how to function in a relationship as an adult male. I just happened to be at an adult male age to deal with a relationship. I do not know how to place my thinking over my emotions. Once I get angry, I can't think past being angry. I can think good the whole time I'm not angry. Soon as something don't go my way, if it don't be for an act of God, I'm going to make a bad decision. I could say all day long that I'm not going to let somebody else irritate me or dictate my life and try to think of something simple to do, and all the programmatic interventions that we have. But when the rubber meets the road, my emotions override my logic and I make bad decisions with my mouth. And I say things that either hurt people, and I never have been able to say the full fruit of a labor of love. Now, I've heard that a million times, and it talks about the harvest, and then it talks about the season. And I they got like farm country. I was riding the train back from visiting my mother, and I looked, and they had all this dirt like dug up, and they had like fertilizer on the dirt, and they had a person out working in this big large field, and they say that they get up early in the morning and they go in late because all they do is plant in the dirt. It was just dirt, and they said they plant seeds in the dirt, and then they have to wait for the seeds to grow. You can't go out there, get in the dirt, and try to pull the seed up to make it stretch it to grow. You can't go out there and do something special that you think's going to make it grow. They say that you have to wait for the harvest. You know, and I'm talking about in a fellowship, talking about keep it simple. Way early, you didn't have to read a whole lot in the literature for it to say about the full fruit of the labor of love. You don't have to read a whole lot in the literature for it to talk about when you talk about the pain. And it says the solution is going to be spiritual in nature. Two things that it tells us right in the fellowship early, it tells us that the solution to your dilemma is not going to be something that you can argue your way out. It's not going to be something that you can't make nobody like you. Oh, wait a minute. That might be a chuckle. It's a painful motherfucking situation. Kick me the fuck out. It's a painful, I tell you, I'm not in good shape. It's a painful situation to think that you can make somebody like you. You make a labor of love might have nothing to do with her, you and somebody else. It might have everything to do with what God wants to do with you and how God wants to transform you. I think that any labor of love has to include another person and another person loving me. I've been scared to death to stay put, sit still, and let a labor be between me and God and see if God loves me enough to allow me to make better decisions instead of running like a fucking rabbit around in circles trying to fix something, form something, make something work, make someone like me, worry about who I'm hurting, who I'm not hurting, being crazy as I can be. Oh, I'm glad I believe in God. I need some water. How much of that 20 I got left? It's the last time I'm going to see you. You know that, don't you? Say goodbye to the bad guy. So I don't say anything for no other reason but to share where I'm at. And I believe that my problem, because I'm not going to come at you and tell you what's wrong with you. I'm not that guy. My problem is Harold's problem. Harold Sharon asked me to come up. My problem is I can't sit still through a season. I'm not a lovable guy. I'm not easy to live with. You know what I mean? I am selfish. I put I got my beautiful daughter out there. I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fanatic. I know I might be in Baltimore territory. Sit down, Richie. It's going to get better. You didn't hear me tell her story. But my daughter is a Steeler fanatic. Everybody in that house is a Steeler fanatic except for my son. But my daughter has been trying out to be a cheerleader for the Philadelphia Eagles. And she's made it like through several cuts. But the piece is, I like ask her how she's doing, and like she looks so confident. I'm like a nervous wreck, but she looks confident. And she's not uncomfortable in the labor or the work that it takes to get the result that she's trying to get. And that's like impressive to me. She believes that the best is going to happen because she gave her best. I never, since I've been in this fellowship, I've never gave my best. I'm trying to think, as blessed as I've been being here, what would happen if I gave my best? What would happen if I went hard? If I went hard at recovery? What would happen if I did what they say to do? What would happen if I sat still through a season of pain? What would happen if somebody left me and I just sat and rocked instead of making a bad move? What would happen? Sam Cooke said, I'm too tired of living, but I'm afraid to die because I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. I never want to get through a third step because somewhere in the middle, I want to include gambling, casino, shopping, coming, you know, just praying, so I don't feel so bad about the gambling, the shopping, the coming, pray away that pain. Not praying in the labor of love. How deep am I on that 20 now? You're doing a good job. I ain't going to sweat because I went to the outlet and I don't have no more money to buy another shirt. This, what y'all see is what y'all get for the rest of the day. Act like you didn't notice I was wearing this bright orange. I could get on the hug team after this. What? I'm going to get a muscle holding this mic. Whoop! All right. If women could carry babies all day long, give baby to a guy, he'd be like, take the baby back. Damn. What would happen if I actually gave the full labor of love? What is the fruit? I'm unaware of, I know it has to be a good thing. Nothing but goodness has happened to me since I've been here. I make decisions. Nobody has done nothing to me. Nobody has ever done anything to me but try to love me. I've been the most difficult, hard-headed, selfish, self-centered person that I could be sometimes because I don't know if I'm capable of loving somebody else more than I love myself. And I have children. And I told you my daughter is here. I don't know if I am truly capable of loving somebody. One time a guy punched my daughter in the eye, my little pretty little daughter is out there. And I said, oh shit. Now I'm 58. I was about 56 then. How far am I? 20. I'm good. And so I said, we got to go see the guy. So I'm telling you, this is like, was it a year ago? 2 years ago? Yeah. And I said, oh, no, man. So I go knock on the door, and he came out and said one thing slick that I couldn't take. And before I know it, we was rolling around in the bushes. Dirt was flying in my eyes. I said, oh, my God, I'm fighting at 56. I'm tussling with this kid and flipping and flopping. And all of a sudden, it came a time when the kid was under me, and I could have, like, hit the kid, and I didn't have it. I didn't have it to hit that boy. And so I said, I'll talk to him. You know, I should fuck you up. And all of a sudden, his mother or somebody snuck up behind me. She snuck up behind me. I don't know what you was doing. I should have took your mother with me. Because if I had took your mother, please, she would have been a fair one. That shit would have been on. She wouldn't have had nobody. You got to learn something. You done got too nice. She done lost your ghetto edge. She snuck up behind me and get to pounding me in the back with something. I turned around. Before I know, the young guy got my neck. I'm going around flipping. He's flipping. Then he gets up running the street. I said, damn. This is why all people carry knives back in the day. I ain't got a fight. But the point I'm trying to make, I couldn't take it because something had happened before with my daughter. I couldn't take another time not standing up for my daughter. But that's some male aggression. That wasn't the best of things to do. And I don't know how to actually measure without God's help where I'm at. I'm measured through barbershop measurements. You know what the guys in the barbershop would say. And I never sit tight long enough to go through what I would think would be ghetto embarrassment, to go through a God experience instead of a ghetto experience. But I think that my answer to simplifying my life and being a better person to live with, be with, to understand people will come through sitting and letting God come to me through just going through a labor of love between me and God, excluding all kind of outside things. Not meaning that I can't be around people, but my focus would be on God and what's going on with me and God. When my focus was on God, I was cool. I did other things, but something happened and I start looking this way. Me and my wife went through something and I looked to see what was going on. Not that anything was going on, but my thinking overrides my, you know, better judgment. My emotions, my intellect was overturned by just my feelings, and I said, something got to be happening. What is going on? What is it? Before I knew it, I had my back on God, and I was on secret prayer mission trying to find out what's going on. But what does it matter if I'm believing that God is going to cover me? Where am I at with that 20? Because you ain't going to disrespect me telling me to get down. Give me the 4 minute and I'll sit down and get out the way. But the point I'm trying to make, if at all possible, if there's a way to keep it simple for a stupid acting guy like me, I know it has to come through an intervention that I have to go through one season of like rumbling with God, one season of eliminating, whenever that season might come, one season of just believing that God could rock me through a problem, one season of not trying to medicate the hurt, one season of not going to the meth program, one season of not taking a little hit, one season that I just sit through until it you can see that it's a clear vision, that I think that that's possible. And I think that it's necessary, not just for me, but for anybody that knows me or believes in me. I think people get introduced to your struggle so they can see when the intervention comes that not only you believe in God, but they believe in God. Thanks for having me.